We'll call the Gates County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Tuesday, June 11, 2024, at 8:58. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, and Swavely. Up first, the consent agenda, approve the general agenda, approve the minutes of the meeting held May 29, 2024, approve all claims through June 11, 2024, in the amount of $2,783,692.96. Accept claim number 2406005 to Beatrice Lawn Care, Inc., in the amount of $500, and claim number 2406015 to RL Teeman Construction, Inc., in the amount of $127,196.67 to be voted on separately below. Of that $2.783 million, $2 million of that is just an internal transfer, which would just be scheduled, goes on the books. It's not money going out, it's just moving between accounts. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve District Court Summary Fee Report and Register of Deeds Fee Report for the month of May 2024. Approve utility permit number 1306 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be installing new fiber line for a residence at 9545 East Ash Road. Windstream will start at pedestal S4490B in the north grader ditch, bore a 2-inch diameter by 48-inch deep line under Ash Road to the south grader ditch, terminate at the pole, plow from the pole to the residence's driveway, then turn into the residence property. All the work will be done on private property. This work will be located at the south of Section 11 and north of Section 14, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemaha Township. Ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless you have any items you'd like to pull.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion on the consent agenda? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 2406005 to Beatrice Lawn Care, Inc., in the amount of $500, and claim number 2406145 to RL Teeman Construction in the amount of $127,196.67 for gravel and delivery. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through June 12th. June 11th, to $2.911389,000.63.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Just to note, these are both companies I'm associated with. Please vote. 5 in favor, with Teeman abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for the Board of Supervisors. We have esteemed guest Terry Acton from the Planning and Zoning Commission here.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
I didn't know if you had anything for us for this, or if you're just here to visit. And his lovely wife, Beverly. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Yes.
And this is...
Good morning, Gates County Supervisors. On behalf of my wife, Bev, three of our youngest grandchildren, Reese, Lauren, and Graham, and Cattlemen's Ball of Nebraska, I am pleased to announce we will be hosting the annual Cattlemen's Ball, which will be the 27th next year, June 6th and 7th. We have chosen the location 1/2 mile east of the intersection of 94th and Beeline on the south side of the road. The Cattlemen's Ball of Nebraska is a charity whose mission is to raise money for cancer research through an annual fundraising event, promote beef and a healthy diet, and to showcase rural Nebraska. My Great. Wife has a few things to say.
Good job, you guys.
Okay, when with the raising of the money, 90% of the profits benefit go to the Fred and Pamela Buffett Center, Cancer Center in Omaha, with 10% coming back to the community. And how that comes back to the community is through the volunteers that come out. We keep track of the hours that they donate to the event, and then they can apply for a grant. And last year, they gave out over $200,000 to the Pender area. And so each year, it just depends on the amount of money that's raised in that area. The Cattleman's Ball has become one of the Midwest premier events, raising millions of dollars for cancer research. Held in different and unique locations, each year the Cattleman's Ball give hosts to communities the opportunity to showcase the different areas of the state. This last weekend, Terry and I went out to Minotair, and the view, I mean, it was in the middle of a pasture. They built a mile-and-a-half road. It was up on the top of a bluff, and you could see the whole valley up there. It was just absolutely breathtaking up there where it was hosted. Hundreds of volunteers, donors, patrons, and friends, guests will attend the Cattleman's Ball of Nebraska. They are guaranteed to have a great time. Some of the greatest country music entertainers take the stage both nights. This last weekend, we got to see Colin Ray. Last year, it was Josh Turner. Other ones have been Clint Black, Sawyer Brown. And no, I don't know who's coming to ours. That'll be decided probably by the 1st of November. We'll know that for sure. While guests enjoy great food, drink featuring premium Nebraska beef and locally produced craft beers, wines, and spirits. You do not have to be a rancher to attend the Cattleman's Ball, or do you know how to, have to know how to dance. All that is required is that you have a warm heart and a generous spirit. There is something for everyone at the Cattleman's Ball. Shopping, dining, entertainment, demonstrations, art, special activities, and more. So make the plans now to attend. The tickets should go on sale probably about mid-November for this. Besides just the ball on Friday morning, the events at the ball start on Friday evening, but Friday morning we'll host a golf tournament at the Beatrice Country Club. It'll be a full tournament we'll host there. And then on Saturday morning we'll have a run, and I've contacted the running club here, so they'll take it. We have a lot of our preliminary things done already. We have our chairman, our committee chairman set up. Just to give you an example, Terry and I are the hosts, but underneath us there are 8 individual hosts that come from, I remember all these. There's the financial part, the activities, the food, what was the other one? Promotions. Is that right? Yeah. We forget them all. But under each one of those areas, there's probably 10 to 15 committees. So by the time we're done, we'll probably have around 200 people that will be just working on the committees, getting everything done. So it truly takes a community to put this thing together. It's not just Terry and I. They just, it's the whole community, and it will bring together Jefferson, Pawnee, all the different areas to come together. And we also want to let you know that we have unofficially touched base with emergency management, with the roads department, and with the sheriff's department. So those committees, I'm sure as we go along, will report to you on things that we'll need and do. So any questions or anything?
In public comment, we can't talk back and forth with you. But I will say we're really excited to hear this, and we look forward to hearing updates, too, as you need anything from the county.
Okay. Well, we are extremely excited to host it. We really are. And it's just
a... So there goes the committee chairs, and then there's branches out committee, and then it probably takes 400 to 500 volunteers under them to get all the in and out done. It really takes a lot of people to pull it off. So
that's why you really have to reach out to other communities.
What are we expecting, about 4,500 people?
Yeah. 45. We hope that 4,500 attend, and then there'll be all the other workers and things. So we're probably looking at about 5,000 people. So it's a nice boost to Gage County. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So
thank you both.
Thank you
three. Do you want some more candy? Go grab another handful.
We gotta feed him breakfast. Yeah.
those are healthy. I see him going for it.
We're going to the playground.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Anyone else for public comment?
Hey, guys.
We have Mr. Bliss and Oliver here from SEND. Does the board mind if we skip over committee meetings and go to SEND's report? With that, I would invite Mr. Bliss, Executive Director for SEND, to come up and discuss some Gage County projects and what's going on with SEND.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Tom. Could you give your name and...
Yeah, my name is Tom Bliss.
For the record.
I am with Southeast Nebraska Development District. And I'm here today with Oliver, who's still sitting. Come on up, Oliver. Just to thank you for your continued support for our organization, as well as remind you of some of the projects that we've done here in the county. I think, Don, you were able to pass these out.
They should
all
have
one.
So if
you had any particular questions on some of those projects, but the $6.12 million is what we were able to generate in grants and loans to your respective communities. We've assisted 59 homeowners through the owner-occupied rehab and the construction of new housing, and then we've assisted 19 small businesses here in Gage County. Some of the projects that we're looking at now is we were able to secure a $1 million grant through the pandemic loan pool, and that is going to be building a couple duplexes here in Beatrice. We're working on identifying some lots. So once we've identified those lots, construction will start. And that will be two duplexes side by side, so four housing units in total. We're also setting aside money for child care and food systems as well. One of the things we hear again and again is the lack of child care for your workforce. So one of our affiliate organizations is setting aside $250,000 for child care financing, and so that'll be used for child care exclusively. And then we'll also have money set aside for food systems, and that will be for anything from grocery stores, which is what is top of mind for a lot of people, but it might even be helping a small startup farmer go from, you know, growing to producing something to manufacturing something. The example I always use is salsa, because everyone makes salsa, I think. Mine's not very good, though. So if I offer you some salsa, do not take my salsa. But that's an example of some of the stuff that we're doing. And then, Oliver, do you want to talk about broadband technical assistance?
Sure. I'm Oliver Borchers-Williams. I'm also with SEND. It's good to be back. I was away for a year working on a master's, but now I'm returning to broadband full-time. A handful of things are going to be happening here in the next couple of months. The BEAD, the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment, $405 million of grants that will be distributed by the Broadband Office. Right now, they've just wrapped up a challenge process. I know Supervisor Haxby did a whole lot of work to ensure that the maps are as accurate as possible in Gage County and across the state. But once that's concluded, then the Broadband Office is responsible for defining project areas. last I heard, I'm not speaking on behalf of them, but last I heard there's about 79 project areas they're taking a look at doing, ensuring that they're as contiguous as possible, and as an attractive of a mix of unserved and underserved locations for providers to come in and serve them. So it's likely that there will be at least several project areas within Gage County and hopefully get the rest of the locations in the county connected. On top of that, SEND was awarded about $800,000 from the USDA earlier this year to provide broadband technical assistance. So kind of a continuation of the work that I was doing with the board here in Gage County, scaling it up nearly statewide. We're working with about 59 counties. But a wide variety of services are available under that grant, feasibility studies, mapping, community task forces. So we're excited to be able to provide that to our membership area and abroad. And then lastly, I've been working closely with Supervisor Haxby as well as NACO to create a sort of toolkit for counties to expand their local capacity to engage with broadband service providers. That's kind of top of mind as of late. The manner in which providers are engaging with counties and vice versa. So we're working to ensure that counties have the capacity to do that and are able to best steward taxpayer dollars and public rights away. So it's an exciting couple of years coming up. A lot's going to happen. Hopefully everyone will have broadband at the end of it.
This is a time I get to brag about Tom and SEND a little bit too. SEND was the only development district early on that had a broadband team put together, and although I don't know if you folks have met Oliver before, I think you've been here to talk to us before, Oliver, but he worked behind the scenes with Emily as we were going through with UBC on the initial broadband contract, which, like I say, I like negotiating contracts and watching Lowell and the work your team did. It was really fun watching and listening to how some of those things did work out. We ended up with a fantastic agreement for our local residents, better than I ever thought would be negotiated out. Oliver was behind the scenes working on that all the time, and part of that is Tom's really gone outside the box. When he came on board, our budget was going, at SEND, it was going down, and that wasn't, I mean, usually that's a good thing, seeing dollars go down. This was from a lack or lackluster services that SEND was providing to our district. Since he's been there, our budget's gone up, but it's because of additional services that have been provided, going outside, things like our broadband team. We had an office with the two of you in Nebraska City.
Auburn,
I'm sorry, over in Auburn for a while, and, you know, that gave all of our counties an opportunity to take advantage of you. I think Gage took more advantage than other areas, but the broadband team looking outside at different grant opportunities, administering different programs, pulling money from the university, interlocal agreements with different organizations, moving dollars back and forth between our sister companies. I mean, Tom, I've got to give you a pat on the back. SEND has done a 180. To give you an example, Beatrice would not work with SEND. I tried and tried and tried with Tobias, and he wasn't interested. He knew what he got when he signed on with SEND. That's changed. Not only are they working with us now, they're throwing everything they can to SEND to work back and forth, and it's been a fantastic arrangement between the city of Beatrice and SEND. Not all Beatrice. I was going to call you yesterday, and I ended up running into Kelly, and she said you're already doing what I was going to ask for, but I wanted to show the board some of the villages that received services from SEND. Wymore's a good example. Mobile street projects. Philly, they're just working on a street project. Adams, the city park improvement, I think we've all seen that. There are ongoing projects in multiple villages and towns with the housing projects. Pickerel, we've just seen that project go in. But it's not one thing. It's a multifaceted approach throughout our entire region. And out of all the, and I'm biased on this, but out of all the development districts, I think Sen's hitting it as hard and as well as anyone. So I want to say thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. And we really do make an effort to go to village board meetings and city councils and hear what your constituents' concerns are. And we try to find a solution to that. So, for example, Cortland, we're working with them. Philly is also on, and the reason I bring up both of them at the same time is they're polling places. They're not ADA accessible. And if you are familiar with Philly and if you're in Cortland, there are individuals there that maybe may have limited mobility or use walkers or wheelchairs or something like that, and they can't, you know, vote. So we're trying to find solutions to that. We're trying to figure out some way to help them make their polling places ADA accessible. And then Philly, we're talking to them about some other projects that will be coming up this year. But, yeah, we're in Liberty, and I can't think of what's north of Liberty.
Virginia,
yeah, thank you. We were in Virginia last year this time. We were helping Liberty with a water project. With Liberty, or Virginia rather, we were talking to them about streets. And there's some projects that, there's some programs that we can help with and others that we can't. But we try really hard to find innovative approaches to address some of these needs. So. Are there any questions?
No, I like the idea with the polling site. That's awesome.
Ms. Axby.
So more of a question, more of a thank you. And we're glad Oliver is back. He jumped right there back too. With helping all of that stuff. But that $405 million, the reason that we got as much as we did is because of help from Oliver, because it was supposed to be about half of that. So by increasing that money coming into the state is going to be beneficial to counties as well, because we have a better chance of getting those more funding.
Yeah, and just for background, when BEAD was passed by Congress or signed into law by the president, Nebraska was allocated about $200 million, and you can increase that by challenging the number of served locations in the state. And Oliver dove in, and he was able to challenge something like 100,000 points, something like that. So he was working alongside the state to generate 100,000 challenge points, which the FCC recognized, and that helped generate hundreds of millions of dollars more. We went from 200 million to 405 million. So that a lot of that can be connected to the work that Oliver did. But
we were 100% successful on those too.
Really?
Yeah, every one of them.
Is this right? A dollar for every dollar the county spend? There's a
that's the region.
That's pretty good return. I mean, usually every dollar we spend is a dollar we spend. It's nice to see a 44-time return on that.
Well, I appreciate it, Eric. Thank you.
I will say, though, with Tom, I mean, we don't get to meet a lot of the folks. Each of us is on different committees and different boards, different places. If I asked Tom how he was doing, I know he'd look down and say, I have a really good team, and he would talk about all the people around him. But I'll guarantee you he's built a great team up there. There's a fantastic culture. People work together well. We're trying new things all the time. And Sen's one of those things I'm really proud to say I'm part of. That's a great organization. I'm excited to see where you continue to go, because housing's really important. Child care is really important. Taking care of our villages and helping to update those are really important. That falls all into your purview, I guess. So You're going the right way. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you. As always, if you have questions or want us to come visit, please do. We have several staff. Eric pointed out we've got an amazing team. Some focus on water, sewer, streets. Some focus on housing. Some focus on small business loans. So if you are interested in any of those three areas, just have us come out. We'll come to village board meetings, city councils, of course, board meetings as well. So thank you again. Thank you, Eric.
You guys take care. Drive safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we will move back to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
We'll let Dave take care of it this morning.
Yeah, short agenda.
Talk about all the water problems.
Good morning. Yes, we did have our water shut off to the building yesterday for a good part of the day. They did shut it off at 10 in the morning, and it did come on a little bit after 5 o'clock, and then it shut off again. And then by 8:45, I got a call and came over, and we ran some water. And as far as we know, everything came up good. So the unfortunate news, though, is they have to do it again next week, it sounds like. And that's this shutoff was because of the issue on 6th and Lincoln. The other one, they do have a valve to replace on 7th and Lincoln. So we're going to coordinate with the city on that, and hopefully they can do it on
Friday.
Actually, Wednesday would be Juneteenth, so we would be closed that day. So if we can work something out with that, that would be the least disruptive way to do it. When they did this one, they did not know that it would shut off the detention center, and it did. But they did very good. They kept things going over there. We kept things going over here. So all in all, I think we were kind of wondering what would happen, but everything went all right. So
I got a call from the judge last night. We were 20 minutes away from moving all the prisoners off-site, and talked to the city again, and they said water would be, they were turning the valves on as we speak. So I called the sheriff, and he was going to sit tight for a little while.
Good, just in the nick of time then.
And then we lost water again.
Yes.
And then it came back on again.
Yes, yeah. So, and I know, I'm afraid the jail will have issues with when that water comes back on. They have so many flush valves over there. We'll probably be dealing with that for a while, I bet. So just have to see what all happens. Masonry construction, they're making good headway on the tower project. They're repointing and repairing. They did have the two lifts. The 80-footer is gone now, so now they're just working off the 120-footer. They're done with pretty much the south and the east side of the tower, and then Sean Van Langham will come and do what he can as far as restranding the holiday lights. We're going to replace them with new light strands, so he will do that. I do see an issue with that lift platform is just big enough to where it's real hard. The roof is so steep up there to get close without being too close. It's pretty touchy work up there. So I'm going to have Sean look, and I mean, if he'll do what he can, but if not, we might still have to have a crane come in with a smaller bucket to get some of those areas. So I'm going to just, this is all paid for by the Holiday Lights Committee, see what he thinks we need to do. So hopefully we can get it done with that lift, but I'm not going to guarantee that will work. And then while the lift is here, I did have masonry construction. They got some paint and painted the clock hands and the numbers. They were really getting faded out, so that looks a lot better. And while the wreath was down, I did run it over to Philly and had it powder coated. So just doing anything we can while the lift is here. And masonry construction, they do have a bid about ready for us to finish up on the east side for the repair work. So when they get that would be the full courthouse, then they should be done. So he did have a bid, but he's still working. He said if when they do that, they will probably close off the second floor entrance, and everyone would just go down the handicapped entrance. And he said it would take a special type of scaffolding to give us fall protection on that. So he's checking with the scaffold company to get a bid for them on that. And Applied Connective is going to come down today. They did change over all the cameras to the new computer, which worked good, but there is a time delay on the computers now, so they're coming down again today, and they will get that straightened out. One way or another, they had to wait until they were done with everything before they could see why the lag was happening, and I think it is some of the cameras are just that old to where they're not cooperating real good with that new computer. So I'll see what they come up with on that. So, and then next week is new phones will be coming in the week of June 17th. So I think they were here, they left for a week, and now they're back again.
Have you heard back from Diode? I had conversation with them to get a hold of you. They were going to get a hold of you that week or the next week. That's been three weeks ago.
No, I did not.
Would you mind reaching out to them and just touching base, or do you want me to call again?
I can reach out to them and see. I know we would like to start moving forward with this as soon as we can.
It's fine either way, but they were going to get back fairly quickly, and if we haven't heard, maybe we could just touch base and see what the answer is, and then we can make a decision and move forward. But yeah, maybe if you give, who do you talk to there, Lauren or Randy?
Oh, usually I just start with John Thompson, and then he would direct me to whoever. But yeah, this is usually John or Becky is who I just send an email to.
If you would touch base with them, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Just to see what they say.
Okay. We'll do. So that's what we had.
Anything else for Building and Grounds?
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Equalization, we had a meeting this morning, ran over by 20 minutes.
Unusually.
15 minutes, unusually long, but a lot of discussion. The assessor's office will be doing a residential appraisal of the county, the villages, rural houses, and eventually Beatrice. The board asked her to increase that scope to include commercial properties. So as we go forward over the next fiscal year, we should be getting a good appraisal of all of our structures, commercial, residential, throughout the county. Hopefully that gives us a new footing again, and our structures are as equal as possible through the eyes of the professionals in that field. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items, Applied Connective Technologies, IT Services, $11,322.50. Gage County transfers from general to road, insurance, building, economic development, $2,231,050.88. Primary election pay, poll workers, $10,542.86. Power built tires, road department, $13,488.32. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $54,259.10. RLT and construction, township gravel and hauling, $127,196.67. Rock On Incorporated, hauling material, $13,280.74. Engage. County share of Engage expenditures, $35,011.59.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens.
Yep.
I haven't got it to Dawn yet, and I don't know if she's received it already, but NERMA has an increase for us throughout the county. It's going to be somewhere around 6.5% for Gage County, I believe.
For insurance?
For liability, work comp. Liability, work comp, all of that. Relatively low increase considering, and that would be any additional liabilities we have as well, but once again, being in that pool has proven to be a very, very good move for the county for saving costs and keeping premiums down. That does not take into account any premium returns that we would receive either, but if you look at the reinsurance costs, those have gone up a lot more than that. So the full amounts are not being passed on to any of the consumers, which would be the counties or the ag societies. But I can't say what the actual reinsurance costs were, but I will tell you they are far in excess of what are being passed on to the pool members. So good job to the board for being a member of NERMA, and also the board that got us involved with NERMA in the first place. That was a very good decision.
What's 0.87. I'm just curious what the overall increase in the insurance industry is for those same factors.
I don't know. We have several insurance people that sit on that board, though, and they said they wish they could pass that premium on to their customers instead of the premium increases that they are passing on.
Basically, insurance costs have gone up tremendously.
I think we do have a current board member that was a part of that, too.
I'm sorry? 6.87. I'm sorry. Dave, were you on the original board that signed the county up with NERMA?
Yep.
Nice work.
Thank you.
We argued about it for a year or two, but we finally did it. So.
That's a tough call, and that's also a political call. You know, no one likes to see things go outside of your county borders, but sometimes it works out well.
It did.
Human Resources, Employee Relations, we'll have some discussion in closed session for contract negotiations. Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
You got anything, Lisa?
Just a little bit.
Okay. Means I wasn't here Friday.
Oh.
I was not. So you didn't miss mine. So,
Lisa, when you didn't come, she said, I'm not coming either.
There you go. I went west. So anyway, just to give you kind of a briefing on emergency management side of things, tonight we have a training at Beatrice Fire. Norris Public Power is bringing in their power trailer for some of our crews to train on. So that's a good thing. And then just a reminder, we're getting into the heat side of things. So heat awareness is very, very important. So zoning side, I did attend. Supervisor Haxby was also at the Claytonia meeting. That was, I thought, went well. It needed to happen to get that public input, you know, as from the developer, from the engineers, you know, the concerns of the public as to exactly, you know, what's going to happen or what's being proposed to be happening. Now it's really left into just the studies that need to be done with the infrastructure of the water, the well, also the sewer. So their village has to take the lead on that, you know, to determine whether or not that's an infrastructure that can be added. Emily, I don't know if you want to add anything else to that meeting at all, but
I think that just a couple of concerns was they were worried about, like, road use, and I figured we were going to we would need to see probably a 300 average daily traffic increase to have some real issues there. And then they were worried about their taxes and what it would do to increase their taxes. But once we explained that it's like structures, I think that was kind of nullified. And then afterwards I got more phone calls about more positive about it. So it'd be a good community growth project for them.
Yep. So that was the Claytonia meeting again. That's an addition of a possible subdivision by a developer, and it has an existing easement on that particular property to get down to the sewer. So, but we'll see where it happens. I would imagine it takes some time to get those studies done, and so I'm assuming that we're got 6 months or so before the county will start to hear that. Next Tuesday, a week from tonight, we have our planning and zoning meeting. We do have the two hearings coming up. We have one for the commercial retail business, which is Wrenchman Repair, that is moving out of Beatrice and wants to move out to his home place. And so that would be, we needed to have a commercial or a special use hearing for that process. And then we also will be hearing the modification to the wellhead protection area, that map for the city of Beatrice. Those, I will share with you, though, those affected parcels, I have been in touch with them, you know, making sure that they know when the hearing is. I've shared as much information as I know. And then I did encourage them to reach out to the city of Beatrice for clarity, you know, on anything that, you know, that they wanted to discuss with them. So that's really all I have.
So, the public hearing is at the planning and zoning on the 18th?
Yes. So
let's see, we have two hearings.
One at 7:15 will be the commercial retail business for Daryl Hurd. That'll be in Lincoln Township, Section 33. And then at 7:30 will be the modification to the wellhead planning map, which brings in about approximately 720 additional acres to the south and east boundary lines. And that will be in Blakely and Grant Township. Is what that particular area has four different townships that are involved actually. So that's right on that line. So but.
About where is the Richman moving? Is it south, east, west?
So Section 33 of Lincoln Township. So if you were taking that from Ellis, let's say, or from so from Ellis, it would be 3 miles south, and then just a quarter mile. It's your corner, quarter mile, then east, right? So this is the residence, actually, that his mother owns, and right now they're doing, she's moving off. So he will also reside at that residence. So, but yet at this particular time, you know, he doesn't. So, but repair shop, he wants to downsize, as I understand, and then just have it happen at his place. So,
there is no jurisdiction on what a person does on their on their ground, is there? There's apparently a landfill happening east of town.
Oh, how person. Far out? I hope it's in the city's jurisdiction and not mine.
Wait, how far out are we talking?
Oh, 4 or 5 miles.
It could still be in their multi-jurisdiction. You want to just get with me afterwards? I'm not sure which location. I'm not aware of it.
Is that for sure happening?
Yeah.
I've heard rumor of it. I just hoped it wasn't real.
I have nothing, so I haven't heard anything, Eddie. Sorry. So
I got approached yesterday, so.
Okay. All right.
I have a question you may or not be able to answer. I had a citizen ask, what are the requirements for side-by-sides on county and township roads? I said, I would assume you should have liability insurance.
You got to have a flag.
I said a triangle. Is a flag what you need? Have a flag, insurance. Do you know the answer to this?
That's a sheriff's office.
I did pass them on to the sheriff, and they said they'd rather we ask and get back to them. But.
Okay. All right. We'll try to get you some answers on that one. So.
That'd be great.
Did they may not follow your advice? Is it?
I don't know. I don't think they're friends. But Ms. Haxby.
I was just going to say, city zoning is only 2 miles outside of the city, so if it's four.
So they have a multi-jurisdictional area, what's considered to be multi-jurisdictional, that takes it all the way to Elm Road. And then it's not exactly drawn a circle. So the map's down in my office. So any permitting process that it has to go through, if something is being built within that multi-jurisdiction, and then they'll permit through them, or they'll be involved in that process.
The, the thing is with the landfill, though, that'll also be – that's not us. That's state. I mean, we are completely hands-off on that. So if you do know where this is located or may be located, if you could let Lisa know right away, that is something that – I mean, the state doesn't mess around with the landfills. They're fairly strict on that.
Well, it may be something that might require, you know, a special use permit, not allowed or allowed. We have a strong list of what's allowed in A1, A2, 3, and 4. So, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I don't have anything as far as law enforcement, unless there was something from Friday that you guys...
The sheriff was not here, and neither was Lisa, so
it was pretty quick.
That was a really quick one. We will have FOP negotiation update in closed session from you, though. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens. Ms. Haxby is what I meant to say.
Dirt crew bladed roads, hauled gravel, changed some blades, asphalt, shredded ditches. We discussed the tree letters and that we have had dedicated someone to be working on that, so we'd like to see some more of the roadsides tree letters going out, easements for boxes, motor grader. Apparently it's here, but it's in Texas, and so we're trying to figure, they're trying to figure out how to get it shipped up here.
Well, that reminds me.
We're still waiting on some information from Congressman Smith's grant. Between then and now, I did find out there's a toolkit thing that I got to get logged into to work on that and then start working on the NEPA process. So I will get back once I get a contact point for budgeting. And then Eddie asked about township graders getting the roads and that they're not as wide as they should be, or how we're going to manage making sure that the roads are up to spec and that the landowners are responsible for their ditches.
I've got a meeting with Regent Schaefer the 12th, which I believe is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, today's Tuesday. The 12th, tomorrow, talk about the extension contract, try to figure out what we're going to do there. He'd like to try to figure something out. In the past, the extension offices have all had separate contracts. I believe most of them have the same contract now, but they're still managed differently. There's staffing is different everywhere. I'm still, unless you guys tell me otherwise, I'm going to go to him with a, here's your budget, use it how you choose. If you choose to have more staff, you choose to have less staff, that's on the extension office then. Currently, I think the plan is for the extension office to increase staff, to bring additional university staff on site. That doesn't affect what the county spends at all. That's their staffing choice, but we do provide the building still. We've provided some updates, some supplies and secretarial services, but nothing would change in that aspect unless the university would choose to. I don't know if they'll bite on that or not, but I'll have a better idea tomorrow. First Road, Mr. Conkey, quick question. Not First Road, First and Dorsey. I saw we had road closed signs 3 miles going up this morning.
Doing utility work.
Why are we closing the road for them?
Sorry. We're doing patchwork on the bridge on Dorsey to the east.
Will you repeat that and I'll read it into the record?
We're doing patchwork on the bridge east of First and Dorsey.
Bridge patchwork on the on First and east of First and Dorsey.
Bear Creek.
I had a call, too, on Dorsey. There was a comment that that road was really, really rough and bad shape. I ran out there. It didn't look terrible. But just so you know, I did.
People fly down it, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. I did get a call on it. It's still a 60-mile-an-hour road. But
that road probably is maintained every 7 days. It's at least once a week.
Just for the record, Mr. Conkey said that road needs bladed at least once a week. There's a lot of traffic on it. Anything else for Road and Bridge?
Eric, noxious weeds, is that part of Road and Bridge?
Would you come on the microphone, Mr. Conkey?
Ms. Boardman has been going out and doing site visits, receiving phone calls, and getting letters sent, getting ready to send out. Okay. She was planning on doing it today, but there was a computer issue, and so she's fighting that computer issue at this moment. So,
because I received a message on that, that there's a lot of thistles and around the, and it's time, they're showing up.
If anybody gets a call on that, direct them to Becky or?
Yep, and she usually gets out there that same day, if not the next day, to go out and take a look at it and then gets a letter sent out.
So she is technically our weed superintendent.
Becky?
Nope.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else for Mr. Conkey? Road and Bridge. If not, we'll adjourn Road and Bridge at 9:48. I guess we're not going to adjourn it. We'll adjourn we're done with committee meetings at 9:48, but we're not adjourning anything because we're going to have a
closed session for some litigation updates and FOP negotiations. We have an esteemed guest, Senator.
There will be action afterwards.
Senator Dorn here. Do you have anything to share with us, Senator? Gracing us with your knowledge and presence. You look like you're ready to golf, so.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to be comfortable. Thank you. I always enjoy coming to the meetings. Had a meeting with Gus this morning for another issue, and he said, yeah, Roger was over here at the county board meeting. I said, oh, it's Tuesday, and I know you got some of you have meetings at Kearney and stuff, so.
Well, we were afraid you were coming, so we moved it, but you caught us.
So that I wouldn't be here. No, just always thankful to come, learn a lot, of what's all going on, and everybody, the information and stuff, it's kind of neat and stuff. So still enjoy being here to watch.
Well, thank you for coming. We always appreciate it.
Yeah, and Mark, stuff. So
I do have a question. There's a petition going around to you funded private schools in Nebraska this year, or will, or I don't know when it starts, what it is. I've had many people ask me, what the hell's Myron doing here? I just want to hear your side of it.
Last year it passed that I forget the bill number. It was $25 million, and then it was on tax credits. People could apply for up to 50% of their income for tax credits, up to $25 million. That was the one that originally the petition people got on the ballot now that we would have voted on this fall. This year, Senator Linehan had another bill, 1402, that basically ended that bill. We took it out of the system, so there's not going to be a vote on it.
Yeah.
But what we passed was now $10 million out of general funds, and it is capped at $10 million for all those years going forward. And then, it's like I said, it's general funds. So that bill did pass. I happen to be one of the 33 that voted for it, what it needed for it or whatever. That one was very hard for me to vote for it, but through a lot of, I call it, there's a lot of things that go on up there politically through negotiations, other things. The bill that you brought this year wasn't that good. This bill here, compared to the bill we had before, was a lot better bill. However, the school, I call it the school teachers or school administrations, they don't like it at all that any money's going towards private schools. So now they're going around to have a petition to put that one on the ballot to see what the vote would be up or down for it. I weighed a lot of pros and cons on that thing and ended up...
Well, the thing that, what you just stated, $10 million is the total amount?
$10 million.
I mean, that's a drop in the bucket.
Well, but it's every year. It's ongoing.
I know, but yeah. Still, $10 million a year.
$10 million.
All across the state of Nebraska.
Across the state of Nebraska.
You see, I've heard horror stories. Oh, my God. All the public funds, the public schools are going to be taken away and blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't understand what was being said.
That's still from the first bill.
Because that increased
every year from $25 million on up to
$100 million. That one there could have increased if the funding was all put out, all that $25 million was allocated, then it would have increased going forward in the years going forward, providing it was all used or whatever. This one here has a maximum cap, and we capped it with the years going forward.
$10 million a year.
$10 million a year, and it's capped.
Will not increase.
It will not increase.
And there's no sunset date.
There's no sunset on it or anything. No. Mm-mm. Not on 1402.
But they still, anybody that can contributes to that, it's 100%.
No, there's none of that contributing. There's no, on your income tax, there's no contributing to this one. It is state general funds.
Okay, so it doesn't, so see, there's the difference, Terry. Yeah. It's getting confused with
the previous
first bill.
The previous one was on when you paid income tax, you could have allocated 50% of that, of your income tax expense, into that fund, into that $25 million. Once that $25 million was met, then it was capped. Nobody else could contribute or whatever. And but that was an income tax deduction. This one, this bill eliminated all of that previous bill. It basically now, I think Secretary of State Bob Evenin said that bill will not even be on the ballot this fall because we ended it in the bill we passed this year.
Just like always, Myron, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. It
coming from you.
Well, I weighed the pluses and minuses. There were a lot of things that went on and stuff. Yep.
So it comes out of the general fund and doesn't come from
out of the general fund.
Do not contribute themselves and get a tax deduction out of it.
Yeah. Nobody gets a tax deduction for this one. Nobody does.
So that
part of that bill that would have been on the ballot, that ended and stuff. So, yeah.
The other point is it's still $10 million out of the general
fund. Still $10 million out of the general fund.
Which
is part of what I call it the schools are so concerned about is they have their foot in the door, though. That's part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, will that be back? All I can tell you is whether we passed it or not, there would have been a bill again next year just because Senator Linehan left. She was always the one that brought it, but there were other people that they had lined up or whatever to bring bills going forward. So, yes.
Some stuff. Okay.
But that one, the last couple of weeks of the session was very, very main part of it with property tax discussion, which we didn't have that, and that's why it was interesting to hear that your equalization this morning went long and you had all those discussions because got a lot of calls, a lot of emails too about the valuations and all of that, and the governor has been going around the state having town hall meetings, and the other day on Channel 10 watching over the noon hour, he was on there with one of the reporters and said, we will have a special session before school starts. So what will come about, have no idea where we're going to be at, what's going to be a part of it, cannot tell you.
Property tax, isn't it?
It's going to be on property tax. It can be, and even I was under the assumption that it had to be just one thing, only one subject. No, it has to, he can call it for more subjects. He can call it for two or three different subjects. Those are the only things that we can deal with in a special session. He could do property tax. He could do, I don't know, there was the winner take all. That, I haven't heard nothing about that since session, but that was a discussion that he could also do that. Senator Wayne's bill, LB 25, which does with some sentencing reform that he vetoed. We passed it with about 27, 28 votes, and then he vetoed it. Senator Wayne was unhappy. Senator Wayne said, I won't come back unless that's part of the agenda. So I don't know what discussions are going on there. So that may be a part of it. He could limit it to one subject, but he could have two, three, or four subjects that it could be a part of. Only those are what we can have in a special session. In the special session, a bill would have to be introduced the first day. Then some of those would only be check-in days. We wouldn't do stuff. The committee then would have to have a hearing after so many days because you have to legally have so many days in between. The committee would have to have a hearing, and then after that it would have to go through the three stages yet to pass something. So, yeah, most generally a special session is probably about 2 weeks long, give or take. Yeah. But some days we will only be what I call checking in because we have to have that day to lay a bill over or to have another bill come – to have that bill come back in. So, yeah.
If you could get property tax taken care of, that'd be great, Senator.
Yeah, I know it would be.
Let's get it done.
Still remember the first year I was up there, there was a bill out for property tax. I thought it was a pretty good bill. Didn't go nowhere. So, and people don't understand. We've, in the last 4 or 5 years, we have, the state has picked up payments of a little over $1 billion in property taxes with the funding for schools that we did last year. That's, and then also the community colleges. in one of the next, right now it isn't, I think it's about $275 million. We will be over $300 million the state will be picking up, because we will pick up all the community college property taxes within another couple years. And that at that time will be over $300 million that the state's picking up, that the taxpayers in the state of Nebraska had been picking up. So that was a lot of negotiations there went on between the state. Governor Ricketts was the governor at that time when that originally started. Governor Pillins, I call it, stepped that up another step to take all of it now. So there are things going on that's happening, but yet when we have some of the increased valuations we have because of strong sales, it's because of the system we have, then that, I call it almost like it fuels the fire or it gets people going again.
That's so. A good argument, though, for caps on schools. I mean, here you're going to be between 60 and 75% of your taxes are going to go to schools.
Yeah.
With these increases, the county's not going to increase our budget, obviously, to what we can. We're going to operate on what we need. I hope that all taxing agencies do the same. Are you in favor of putting any of those caps in place so that they can't just follow the valuations and take as much as possible every time?
I will tell you this. When I went up there, I was not, because I knew what caps did to the counties or whatever. I was not. After I've been up there a while, though, and see some of the and you have to be very careful when you visit about, I call it, cities' budgets and counties' budgets, because there's certain things, and I tell senators up there there's certain things, and I particularly remember our inheritance tax, and I remember the conversation with Don when we were building Hickory Road out here. We had to put in our budget that we were going to spend that full amount. If we didn't, we had to open up the process of going back through the budget again. So, and I've had people come and tell me that, well, that county out there, they increased their budget by 15% last year. Well, no, because they have to include certain things in there. Counties have been for years, I call it, their property tax collection have been 2.5% or 3.5%. To me, that seems a more logical thing than putting a 3% cap on or whatever. Strong push for a cap of some kind. Most likely, in my estimation, the proposal that we'll see coming out, it will have a cap of some time, of some kind. Don't know what that'll be yet or where, but to me, if you're dealing with the property tax and that's the issue you want to deal with, and I've tried visiting with some, I don't understand exactly how schools put together their budget, understand a little more of the counties, because there are years because of maybe a road project you're going to do or something. Now that is part of the budget, and it looks like you have this big increase when you really don't. But if you had a 3% cap, now would you be able to, how does that affect that end? I don't know those things yet and stuff, trying to get a better answer, because it could be pretty, but to me, I'm okay with what happened all the time with the counties. You limited the increase in property taxes, and you left that, I call it, that spending open because of certain special issues. I do know that they're proposing that to increase it by a certain amount, it's going to take a vote of the board or the people. So I don't know where that all sits at. We'll see what comes out from there's a group that's working on it, so we'll see.
That'd be great, too, though, to see it where the people can decide instead of...
Yeah. Yeah. I am more okay with a cap than when I went up there, I will tell you that, just because of not picking on Lancaster County, but several years ago they had 11% increase in property valuations. They left their levy the same. That was 11% increase in property taxes, period. Some people don't understand that. If they don't back that down and, I call it, control some of those costs, it automatically goes up there. And articles in the paper, I know we have a new guy here, but those articles in the Lincoln paper were they held their levy steady. The levy didn't mean nothing that they held their levy steady. The property taxes still went up by 11%.
A lot of smoke and mirrors all the time.
Yeah, it's smoke and mirrors and stuff. So this last year, though, with a 22% increase in Lancaster County, Lincoln Public Schools lowered their levy. First time in a long time they lowered their levy. So there's a lot of, I call it, moving parts. We have the system we have there today.
You're talking Lincoln Public Schools, not Lancaster County increased.
No, not Lancaster County, Lincoln Public Schools, yes.
Lincoln Public Schools, because the county doesn't even have the ability to do that.
No, county doesn't have the ability to do that.
The schools, though, I mean, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars change. And
well, I do know they have $450 to $500 million plus budget, so it's you're talking a lot of dollars there and stuff, so Yeah. So, like I said, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things that how it affects this entity won't be the same effect in this entity and so on. We'll see. The governor attended one of his telephone meetings, couldn't come to one in Beatrice. I heard that one was pretty good. And by some of the questions and stuff, went to the one in Seward and listened to some of his comments. And one of his comments was, instead of a 3% cap, he'd really like to see a 2% cap. It still comes down to how do we get 33 votes in the legislature. There has to be a proposal to come forward that 33 votes. We'll see where it goes. I do like his determination, Governor Pillen's determination, though. If we don't attack this the best that we can and as strong as we can, it'll keep going the way it is. So it's, and I think most people, including most government people, understand that our current system is not working. It's being a challenge and stuff. So we'll see where it goes. So
we appreciate you coming and talking to us and being abused by the board. Well, thank you, Senator.
No, I'm not abused by the board. Just interesting to hear some of the comments, because otherwise you don't always pick up some of those things. So you guys are doing a good job. Thank you for what you do. Thank you very much for what you do.
Thank you.
Because several of you go through election every, well, all of you go through election every 4 years. So that's another challenge that, and stuff. So, I'm just thankful that I didn't have to, the last time, have an opponent. So
keep working. Thank you, Senator. We will take a 5-minute break before going into closed session. Once we do go into closed session, we will take action potentially afterwards, approving or disapproving retaining NIRMA for council service on an item. Is that a good way to say that?
Yeah.
We'll take a recess at 10:04.
Well, you know, I brought that up.
Go back in.
We'll reconvene at 10:13 on the clock. We will be going into closed session shortly for litigation update and for FOP negotiation update.
Hey, Eddie.
I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest. Or for the protection of the reputation of an individual. We will take action after the litigation update and FOP negotiations, potentially on retaining NIRMA.
Motion approved.
Moved by Swavely.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. We're in closed session at 10:14.
5 in favor?
Us,
5.
Four, five, six.
Oh, yeah, you came. That way we were off there. Okay.
Make a motion to come out of it.
Will you turn the speaker on? This is really why it's good to have all of us here.
It's on.
I'd ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 12:31.
So moved. Second, whatever.
Who was that?
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely.
I thought it was Dorn.
Yeah. Was that Dorn? Dorn. Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. I'd ask for a motion to approve retaining NIRMA and paying the deductible to represent us in the... Oh, Roger, do you want to say what we're hiring NIRMA for?
Yeah. Basically, this is in reference to the litigation that's Pinpoint Holdings, Inc. is filed against Gage County and the members of the board. Dealing with a permit for fiber optic cable installed in the right-of-way. There's a lot of other issues that go with that. In consult with our carrier, NIRMA, they're basically have assigned an attorney, Jeff Kirkpatrick's his name, who deals with these kind of things, and we would be responsible for the deductible of $10,000. And it would be my recommendation to the board that both in terms of time, expertise, and there's other issues involved other than just the right-of-way, but that is a very important issue for the county to protect, that you retain NIRMA's attorney for that deductible of $10,000 in this case.
Move to approve.
Second.
Holy gosh.
I know. Threw me for a loop here.
Have a motion by Haxby, second by Schuler, to approve NERVA. Coming from the left.
Finally.
Any discussion?
Your left.
My left.
The podium's right.
If not, please vote. Six in favor, motion carries. I would like to go back into closed session for a little while to go over FOP, if anyone would like to.
Nope.
No one wants to, so we won't. Anything else for the good of the order? Mr. Schuler.
Executive session scheduled for the committee meeting, our next committee meeting, discuss employees.
You say, is there?
Could we? I'd like to.
Does Don know about this?
This Don?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, what? I'm just bringing it up now.
You have an employee you need to visit about?
Yes.
Do we need to notify that employee to let them come?
I wouldn't say so. Would you?
Do you want? Okay.
Or can you?
Why didn't we do it today?
Can you just talk?
Oh, because it's gotten so late. We could do it today.
Can you talk to Roger just real quickly, lean over and visit with him and ask if we need to have him here? I don't know the rules on closed session for employees. I know there's been times when we should have invited and we didn't, just to make sure we do it right. I don't know what this is, so I'm...
It shouldn't take long.
Okay, all right.
Shouldn't take long. Just
and you're fine with that, Roger?
Yeah, it's just single issue. I think they're just looking for some direction.
Okay.
I would ask for a motion to go into closed session.
At next meeting, we're done today.
Oh, you don't want to do it today?
Good Lord, no.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll
would
put
you
it
put
on.
A personnel closed session
lunch.
On for?
Our committee meetings. And is that going to be Friday? Is it going to be Monday? Is it going to be Tuesday? What day will we do that?
Well, let's see. What day would you like, Gary? Tell me.
I don't know. I don't even know when they are anymore.
It'd be the
Monday evening.
24th.
4th.
Monday evening?
No. Monday morning. Monday morning. Okay. 7 o'clock.
Okay.
6:24.
Okay.
Make sure you tell Terry Jurgens.
It's just regular day, regular
meeting. It's his birthday. He'll be here.
It's back to the
usual
schedule.
All right, anything else? If not, we will adjourn at 12:36.